Because what he's doing with us is changing us.
Amen.
You know, we needed rescuing. We were in pretty bad shape when he came along, right?
Amen.
But God knew that. God knew that. This is not going to be easy. He never said it was going to be easy, did he? No. He said, but why is it so hard all the time? There's a reason. There's a reason for that. You know, if we could take care of ourselves, we wouldn't need him. But we can't take care of ourselves, can we? There's no way we're going to keep this body healthy, right? There's no way we're going to keep our mind focused correctly. There's no way we're going to control our emotions to the degree that we ought to unless we keep our spirits tuned into the Lord. But he's showing us daily that if you tune into the Spirit and you let yourself be led by the Spirit, then you don't have anything to worry about. He takes care of it for you. And we experience what everybody really wants, peace. What does the Lord say when he comes and he appears to the people all the time? Peace. Yeah, fear not. And peace. Peace is the state that we were meant to be in, that we mess up by trying to do things our own way or for listening to the wrong voices. Those voices that come in and cause us to judge things. You know, as if we're the ones to make the decisions on what's good and what isn't. And then we listen to the little voices that cause us to talk. And then we start feeling guilty about that. And then we start feeling condemnation, and it robs us of our peace, doesn't it?
Amen.
If we were in perfect peace, our mind would be stayed on him. Right? You know that one. Well, the Lord's been undoing a bunch of stuff here lately. And in particular, he's been doing some healings of body parts. And that's an exciting thing, because I've been involved in that myself a couple of times. When the Lord has touched me where I ached. And all of a sudden, it just didn't ache anymore. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And I've also been involved in actually being the instrument of the Lord and touching somebody else. And sometimes it's healed me in the process, or it's done something to tweak my awareness of him and my cooperation with him when that happens. So I know that there are some testimonies out there in particular for healings. So I'd ask you, if you were involved in one of those, to be bold enough to come up here and share your testimony with the rest of us, that we might be encouraged by what the Lord has done for you. You have one? Come on up. And we've got a microphone somewhere.
You have a microphone?
I sure do.
Thank you. First of all, it's a real pleasure to be here again. I'm from Frederick, Maryland, as you know. I'm a surgeon. I practice a lot of surgery. I've been doing this for 40 years. Last week, I was operating a patient. I was doing the surgery. And the moment, well, let me just tell you, before I started surgery, when I was going to my car to the hospital, I will listen to some who say, because I live, you live. Because I move, you move. If for any particular reason, those words, they got so engraved in my brain, I said, because I live, you live. Okay. I went to surgery. Like usual, I had done these operations many, many, many times. And before surgery, I said to the Lord, Lord, I have done this more than thousands of times, but I need your help. Without your help, I'm nothing. Because my knowledge is your knowledge. That you gave it to me, that I'm passing to the patient. And the patient is going to receive the benefit of your knowledge. I walked into the operating room. Everything was okay. No problems. Like the one of the routine operations. Made the incision to remove a cancer, and suddenly, without no reason, the heart of the patient stopped. As a surgeon, I can hear all the beep, 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 for the monitors. It's all in silence. And the anesthesiologist said to me, hold it. Patient arrested. I look around. I said, Lord, help us. I didn't say anything, especially in my spirit. Tremendous amount of peace came in. They check everything in the monitors in seconds. And the nurses and everything said the monitors are working good. The heart of the patient is stopped. Then my assistant said, Doctor, should I start CPR? I said, immediately. And then we started the CPR, and the heart began to artificially move. And then we stopped the heart flat. Started three or four times, nothing. My assistant was tired, and I said to them, now let me do it. I went over and said, Lord, be with me. As soon as I put my hands in the chest of the patient, the heart started. And the anesthesiologist said, Doctor, don't do anything. The heart restarted all over again. And look, completely normal. Everybody rushed into the room and the operating room, the surgeons and all these things. It was a tremendous amount of peace because I have been in many of these cases in another room. The peace of the Lord was amazing. The presence of the Lord was good. I realized that Satan came in to steal, like he's a stealer, steal the life of this patient. But the Lord said, I came in that you have life and life in abundance. Loosen it up. And the heart began to beat. Yeah. And then I said to the anesthesiologist, can I finish my operation? It's a cancer in this patient. He said, hurry up. And I said, that's because we have to wake it up this late. I said, Lord, did my hands move faster than life? If my hands move so fast, faster than my brain, in less than 7 minutes, the cancer was out.
Praise
God.
Yeah.
They woke up the patient. They called the cardiologist and all these things. They couldn't figure it out. Everything was okay. The patient was conscious, but another nurse here in the hospital. Everything was great. Brain was perfect. Nothing at all. The patient, I don't remember anything. The only thing that didn't happen.
Right.
He said, you're great. I don't feel any pain. I'm disordered by the area.
I know that we prayed for several people last weekend who received a measure of relief, and some felt complete release until like the next day or two when a symptom started to reattach itself. I think, Molly, you were one of those? No? I was misinformed then. Connie was one. We've been briefed on several occasions through the past to be attentive to that kind of stuff. And Tina has another element of her testimony that those of you who have had that kind of experience, I want you to hear. That's a word of instruction to some of us who've been on the receiving end of healing grace and then have walked away, and some hours or within, you know, like 72 hours, we begin to feel distress again and tend to think, oh, I thought I was healed, but I guess I wasn't. I'll just take some more ibuprofen. Rather than acknowledging, as Tina did, God, in fact, moved on my behalf. I was clearly set free from this thing. I'm not going to sign for it again. So, for those of you who were in that position, I want to encourage you before we leave here today, let's go after that thing again. In fact, you can start rebuking it right now because you know God touched you. Let's lay hold of this stuff. We're learning these things together. Is that okay? We'll just get educated as we go along.
Is that on the game?
person that I got to pray with. And basically, he walked me through renouncing that lie, declaring the truth of what the Word said, and nothing changed. I was still just sitting there. And he said, "Do you feel any different?" And I said, "No, I don't." And he said, "Well, let's do it again." I said, "Okay." So we prayed again, and I renounced it again, and I spoke the Word of God over my life and made that declaration for me and for my family and for my children and their children. And immediately, after praying for that, I had like this sense of pressure inside of me that just disappeared. It was like some force inside of me trying to get out, but it was there 1 minute and gone the next. And it wasn't painful, it was just noticeable. So then we decided to go on for the second one. And the second one that I had, me personally, was a fear of failure. And with that came the feeling that I was stupid, which was a lie. And we prayed and we renounced it and we spoke God's word over my life. And in the course of praying and renouncing, I had a picture from the Lord. And Mark said, "If the Lord gives you a picture as we're going through this, let's talk about it." And I immediately had a flashback to when I was a child and I was sitting around our dining room table with all my brothers and sisters and mom and dad. And it was report card day. And we were all giving our report cards to my dad and he was making his comments. And I remember, I don't know that it had anything to do with my dad, but I remember feeling stupid. I remember feeling like I hadn't met the bar. And in that moment, Mark said, "Look for Jesus in that picture. Stay with that picture until you see where Jesus is." So I did. I sat there and I waited and I saw Jesus come into the picture. And then it was just like it was me and him sitting in a room. And I understood what he was telling me. And he was saying that I shouldn't have compared myself to others. That, you know, I was created and designed uniquely from everybody else. And that I was fully equipped. He knew everything and he lived within me and anything I needed was available to me. And in the course of him going through each of those thoughts that I had, I began to feel whole. I began to feel redeemed. And so we went back and we renounced it and we spoke God's word over it. And then I started yawning. I probably yawned 3 times. And I knew I was free. I felt lighter. So now we get to the third one. And it was the biggest one. And it's been an issue in my life for a while. And it was rejection. And I was nervous about that one. So we started praying. We renounced it, spoke the word of God. And I'm expecting this one to be the all-out fight, you know. And as I renounced it and we prayed, my ears popped, and that was it. Right, just like that, I was set free. And I wanted to come and tell you guys, one, because don't let the enemy cause you to feel ashamed. And don't let him trick you into thinking you're okay just the way you are. If he's been lying to you about something, you can be set free from that. And you don't have to be ashamed of that. And I wanted to encourage you that if he did it for me, he would do it for each and every one of you.
Now, is that encouragement enough? Now, can we all just consider that the Lord might even be interested in you today. He might have something in store that's going to make next week better than last week. Or the rest of today better than it was when you walked in. Are you willing to open up your heart and let the Lord in? Many times I can see in worship there we get right to a place where we're just about to enter in to his presence and we slide back. Right? I mean, it's a conscious decision. I know the point. I've been there many times myself. I know exactly when I decide to press in. It's usually right before I hit the floor. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because when you open yourself up to the Lord, that's perfect trust. Complete trust. He made you. He knows what's good for you. He knows how to fix you. He knows how to give you peace. And he's going to do it today. So let's give him an opportunity today. Let's have a number of the people who are moving in that particular ministry of healing and deliverance to come on up and join me here. And then we'll make an opportunity for the Lord to come in and touch you. If you'd like a touch from the Lord today, raise your hand. Come on now. Be honest. Let's add to that the people who know they need a touch from the Lord. Today is the day of your salvation and your deliverance. The ones who just raised their hands. So let's move on. So come on up. The people who pray and the people who touch the Lord for everybody else in particular. Don't all rush up at once. And maybe we can get some help in the worship and not lose this. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing here. Can you imagine that there are people here who have been sick for weeks, carrying something like that, and then they say, oh, by the way, yeah, at church the other day, it went away. Can you imagine that testimony out in the workplace? Somebody comes in, they say, man, my side's been killing me. You say, well, come to my church. Because the testimony is that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Is the Lord here? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to go into worship here a little bit, and we're going to release the prophetic voices. Do we have any particular words, prophetic words for us today? We got one? Okay. I certainly would expect it. Okay, those that raise your hand that you know you need a touch from God and you kind of like one today, come on up. Scurry, scurry, scurry. Not that the Lord can't work out there, but He likes it up here. Usually when I see Him in here, this is where it is. In addition to that, there have been testimonies of people who see angels in our midst. And I'm convinced of that when we're worshiping, that the angels are here. They bring words for us as well. They're messengers from the Lord. And they're ministering spirits to us. And they can bring answers to prayers, too. That's scriptural. Prayed for Cornelius, and the angel came and gave him the answer to his prayer. So at this moment, I would like to release the angels that are present here and give them freedom to come and deliver to you a word from the Most High. Much as Isaiah was worshiping and said, you know, I'm a man of unclean lips from a people with unclean lips. And the angel took the coal from the altar and touched him. I'm going to release the angels here for ministry purposes and to open up the heavenly gates, that the Spirit of the Lord would fall down upon us right now. Hallelujah. I'd like to encourage everybody that's not up here to continue to pray with us and to worship as we do, that your prayers might be added to ours on behalf of the people. Ready for that prophetic word yet? Okay. Picture that there's somebody here who's been trying to control something in their life that they know is not proper. And they've begun to listen to the lie that would deceive them into thinking that it's God's fault. That if It's not fair that God would give me this desire and then blame me for it. You have to realize that's a lie. So if you're dealing with that particular issue, and it could be over a number of things, there's freedom here today. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Break that yoke. It's the trick of the enemy to try to get you to blame God for that. We can't do it in our own flesh. We've got to walk in the Spirit and by the Spirit. So if that applies to you, come and find me, because I think I've got the grace for praying in that one.